My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead. Mine, soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine. My faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead.
Today the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy. Last week we left off on verse 22, and tonight we continue with the last three verses of this chapter. The book of 1 Timothy is a very important book. All books of the Bible are important, but this one is particularly important in this that is written to a pastor, to a minister, to a young minister who is about to begin his ministry. And in there we see instructions not only on how to have order in the church, but also how he should live his life, how he should show his testimony. Something that's so important about this book is how the testimony that we as Christians are to show to the world. And we do so in the way that we behave, in the way that we show and we shine forth the light of Jesus Christ. After all, the name Timothy means one who honors God. So if you haven't been up to date with these recordings, you can listen to them online on redemptionandpower.com, or you can find us on iTunes. You could also download the app both for iPhone and Android, so you can be able to listen in for your convenience. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. We're always open to hear your prayer requests and to minister to you, to speak to you, to hear your testimonies, and to hear what the Lord is doing in your life. You can also contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight, we thank you again for everything that you have done through us, Lord. Father God, tonight I pray that we learn from the Apostle Paul, Father. Learn from the lessons, Lord, that he showed Timothy on the way that we should live and conduct ourselves as ministers and people of God. Father, we ask you tonight to strip us of any negative things and for you to use us, Father, powerfully for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Everybody needs someone to hold on. Take my hand. I've been a lonesome man. Took a while to understand. There's some things we can't live without. A man so prone to doubt, faithful are the wounds of friends. So give it just a little time, share some bread and wine, weave your heart into mine.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight we continue our study in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Last week we left off from verse 24. And just to do a quick recap of some of the things that we saw between last week and the week before, we saw that the beginning of this book was addressing widows. And we see that that does not necessarily mean that it applies to widow in this day and age. See, one of the things about the Bible is that we have to look in the context and seeing not only what it spoke to those that were these letters were written to, but also what do they mean to us and how can we apply them in our lives. We see that that culture was very different than the culture that we have today. We live in a society where there's different types of resources that are available to people, especially here in the U.S. It's very difficult to find someone that doesn't have anything. We see that there's instructions that Paul the Apostle had given young Timothy as to how they should disperse for needs and what who really is a person that is in need, who really is a widow. And a widow in that time was something that was a very difficult circumstance, especially if you didn't have any children, you didn't have any family, because there was no welfare system to help people to be able to stay, to be able to meet their daily needs. So it was the church's responsibility to do so. And then we see that Paul got into speaking about the elders, and be careful on how you receive accusations. We talked about how the enemy usually goes for the leaders. He goes for the head, as Brother Lewis had mentioned, to go and to try and destroy the body. And he does that in the churches, and that's why it's very important to pray for those that are in church leadership, to pray for those who are pastors, to those who are elders, to those who are teachers in the church, because those are usually the ones that the enemy tries to attack. Just like in war, they always, the first people that are gone after are the generals or those, the sergeants, or those that are higher rank officers, so then they can destroy the leadership. And the same tactic the enemy uses. We saw also about finances, how it is not wrong for a leader in the ministry, someone who is, the scripture says, who serves in the word, who rules and labors in the word and in doctrine, they're able to receive financial compensation for their work. We see that there's talk about finances here in this chapter and how to give to those who are in need and how also to give to those who are ministers. We also saw about how Paul tells young Timothy not to lay hands on someone suddenly. We saw that that not only doesn't mean to pray over someone, but specifically laying on hands also means to bring them into fellowship, put them into leadership, to send them out into ministry. And this was something very important because specifically at this time, there was a lot of false brethren. There was a lot of false teachings. There was a lot of false people that were entering and they were trying to be like they were Christians when in reality they were leading others astray. So in fact, Paul speaks about not being a partaker of other men's sins. And that's why we have to be very careful in how, who do we align with, who we bring into us with ministry, because the devil's out to destroy, and he's very deceptive. If he was able to sneak into the garden, he's definitely going to try and sneak in into the ministry. So tonight we continue in verse 23, and more than likely we're going to finish this chapter and probably start the next one, which is the last chapter of 1 Timothy. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. It's been a huge learning experience for me. There's nothing more interactive, more beneficial to your heart and your soul and your mind, and to actually go and dive into a book and find out and look at all these little nuances and these wonderful things that the Holy Spirit has left for us, and just take our time. The Bible shows us that the Word of God is likened unto bread. It is sustenance for our soul and for our spirit. And often when we sit down before a meal, if we just completely just, you know, engulf it down without really savoring, we miss out the wonderful experience of truly enjoying that meal. And the same thing is with the Word of God. We need to chew it. We need to savor it and then digest it so that we can really enjoy it and understand it, and so that it will be a blessing to our lives. So the scripture says in today, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. So in this verse, Paul is telling Timothy that for his ailment in his stomach to drink a little bit of wine. Now, this is important because Paul is in fact telling Timothy to take medicine, to take a remedy for his infirmity. And this is particularly important in this time because there's a lot of Christian circles who are totally against medicine. And the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, this verse right here would support a Christian being able to use medicine or to go have a doctor, because what Paul is telling young Timothy is something practical. Somehow, perhaps, from the place where he was living, maybe the water was contaminated, maybe he was having some issues with his stomach. And Paul is telling Timothy to take the wine for the stomach. You see, wine in those days was not only something that was used for alcoholic purposes, it wasn't just a beverage, but it was also used as medicinal. It can be used as on the skin, as something to clean a wound. In fact, when we read about the story of the Good Samaritan, we see that the Good Samaritan, when he finds the man that was fallen, he had been robbed, and the Bible says that the Good Samaritan, he got wine and he cleaned his wounds and he put oil on his wounds as well, and it was used as a remedy for different things. However, you have people today that teach that it's not necessary, that it's not necessary to ever go to a doctor. And this is very dangerous in telling this to someone, because many people have died because they listened to some false preacher, to some televangelist that told them that they were okay, they were 100% healed, and they end up dying. Why is it that Paul doesn't just say, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you and it's just going to go away? He doesn't do that. Here we see that there's an advocacy to be able to use certain remedies. In fact, God has given us different plants and minerals to be able to help our bodies to be able to overcome diseases. And then he says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. And this is a very deep verse. He says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. There's some individuals who their sins are manifest here in this lifetime. But there's others that those things will not be out in the open until the day of judgment. And this is particularly important in the sense that we live in a world that mocks Christianity. They mock Christians because they believe that Christians proclaim that they can live a certain lifestyle, they could do whatever they want, and then just ask God for forgiveness, and then God automatically forgives them, and they feel like it's a cop-out. Like if they're using Christianity as a crutch to be able to give them the ability to do all these wicked things. But that's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that God cannot be mocked. God will judge every sin. And unfortunately, there's people that think that they're okay because they haven't been put to shame, because their sin hasn't come to light, because they feel like they can get away with things and that they're okay. And they're going to be in for a surprise on that day of judgment when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give light on all things. Everything will come to light. And that's why, brothers and sisters, each and every day we ought to walk with a clear conscience. The Bible shows us that we ought to confess our sins unto the Lord. If we confess our sins unto Him, He is faithful to cleanse us, to forgive us, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See, we as Christians especially should not be walking with open accounts with the Lord. We should do everything possible to do everything right that we can and to confess every sin that we are conscious of. Because there's no secrecy with God. God can see all things. He can see into our hearts. He can see our motives. That's one of the wonderful attributes of God, is that He knows our hearts. And on that day of judgment, all of our deeds, all that we did, will be brought before the Lord.
Amen. The Bible says in Matthew 8:17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our disease. Not too long ago, I had a conversation with a gentleman that he was speaking about this scripture in the one in 1 Peter 2:24. And he was referring to that Jesus died on the cross so that we may be healed. Now, I do believe that Jesus died so that we could be healed. But there are times that God doesn't choose to heal us all. So I believe that for those reasons, God has allowed doctors to help us live longer lives. Now, when we are stuck with this type of mentality that I'm not going to take a pill because God has, you know, healed me, or I'm not going to allow my spouse to go see a doctor, you know, you get into a situation like this gentleman, you know, was dealing with or is dealing with, in which he's got people in his family that are suffering with sicknesses. And because these sicknesses have been neglected, now they have serious situations. You know, we could look for an example at Jehovah Witness religion, for example, with the blood, you know, as far as, you know, giving blood to their family members. You know, I don't know how you may feel about that, but, you know, if I had a family member that was suffering from some sort of disease or a sickness and they needed, you know, my blood in order to live, you know, I think that that's something we should do. And that's something that Jesus did on the cross for us, that he gave his life. And he shed his blood so that we could have freedom and victory by what he did on the cross of Calvary. Now, my brother Javer spoke about nothing is hidden from us. You know, and that's found in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 17. And this is what the word of God says. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. You know, you could do your sins. You could hide from people, but you can't hide from God. You know? And it doesn't matter, you know, and I hate to say this, you know, there's a lot of people that are playing games, doing things behind people's back, saying that they love God and they're into drugs and alcohol, in the middle of the night, lying to their spouses. You know, these are serious things, brothers and sisters. I mean, you could do whatever you want, but what I'm saying is, perhaps your partner is never going to find out, but God will. And for every sin that we do here on earth, there is a punishment. There is a price to be paid, either here or in the day of judgment. So that doesn't mean we need to be perfect. None of us are. But we need to strive to do the right thing.
You know, Brother Lewis, one of the things that really, really speaks to me is that the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes to the earth, that the world was going to mourn. The tribes of the earth are going to mourn. And, you know, I always thought about why is the world going to be mourning when they see Christ? Why are they going to be, you know, why are they going to fall into, why are they going to be broken at that time when they see that Jesus is coming upon the earth as King? And I think it's because people at that moment will realize that everything the Bible has said was true, and that now they will have to answer for all things that they have committed. I mean, can you imagine if you've done all these things in your life, you never thought that you were ever going to give account for them, and there comes a moment in time in your life where suddenly all these charges are brought up before you, and now there's a penalty to pay. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why the world is going to mourn. The reality is going to hit them that they're not in control. And I think that's one of the greatest fears that exists, is that we don't have any control. People, if we look at our society, everyone is striving to have control over their financial circumstances. You know, they build up their retirement, they put X and X, you know, such and such money away to pay off their houses, save money for their kids' college, and they plan everything out. But then circumstances happen in life that shows that we're not in control. We're looking at these, what's going on in this country with the politics, with the culture, with the economics. Everything is totally out of control. And there's nothing that we can really control. And when people start to realize that they have no control over anything, and now when Jesus comes and they realize that He is the one that's in control, He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's going to be wailing, there's going to be crying, there's going to be gnashing of teeth. And what does that gnashing of teeth mean? It means regret. It means remorse. It means, man, I blew it. And it's also going to be sad for a lot of Christians, because the Bible says that there's going to be servants who are going to be eating and drinking, and they're going to be totally occupied with other things that they themselves are going to be caught up by surprise. And I think that's why it's so important for us as Christians, especially in this time, to really strive to stay hot, to stay burning, to maintain our oil and our lamps, which is being filled with the Holy Spirit. We look at the scriptures, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When we read about the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 that had the oil and the 5 other 5 that ran out, what's going to make a difference in these last days is being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we're going to be able to withstand the things that are coming upon this earth. That's the only way we're going to be able to be witnesses of Christ. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. And we look at the lamps in those days, and the lamp was fueled by the oil. If there's no oil, there's no light. And the reason why some of us are not able to give a testimony of Christ in our homes, in our workplaces, everywhere that we are, it's because we're lacking oil. We're lacking the power of the Holy Spirit to keep those lamps burning. We need to be filled. And look what he says in verse 25. It says, likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are not otherwise cannot be hidden. Good works must be manifested in the life of a Christian. We are not saved by works, not by any means. But those works show that we're saved. They're the fruit that show what tree we are. The Bible says that a good tree cannot bear evil fruit, and a evil tree cannot bear good fruit. So if we're showing forth good works, then it speaks about the type of tree that we are. And just like sins cannot be hidden, good works cannot be hidden. They're done so to glorify God. They're not done so that we can boast in ourselves, so we can say, wow, look at me, I am such and such a Christian. No, they're done so that we can glorify God, so that others can see that Christ is in us and that He's brought change and transformation into our lives. It is to glorify Him and Him alone.
Amen. There's a particular scripture, brother, that I believe deals directly with what you were talking about the day of judgment. And, you know, a lot of people ask themselves, you know, how do we know when we're getting to the last days? And one thing Jesus doesn't do, He tells us when it's going to be, you know. But He does tell us what's going to be happening in those days. And you could find that in the book of Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to start reading in verse 26. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. There are times when I relive these moments in my mind. I wondered, why did God make such a huge ship that was able to carry every single kind of animal in the world? And it was built so large because God's intention was to save all humanity from the coming wrath. And I could just think and imagine what it must have been like in those days, and compared it to the days that we're living today. Here was Noah building an ark with his family. And I'm sure that the man of God that he was telling the people to turn from their sins. And I'm sure that his family were doing the same thing. But people thought that he was crazy. And people think that when we preach the gospel, we're crazy. But it came to a day when that ark was built and that door was shut and the flood waters started to rise. I wonder what these men and women thought when this thing happened. And I wonder what it would be like in the last days on this earth. Brother Javer said that people would lament. And I could imagine those people outside that ark, as the water was rising, probably hitting against the ark and begging for their lives and begging for them to open the door, but it was too late. Friends, the door of your salvation hasn't closed yet. Are you going to wait till the last moment when that door is shut and there is no more opportunity? Pastor Javer also spoke about fruits. You know, one thing that I do have is my home. I have several fruit trees. And I've learned through time that there are trees that bear good fruits and bad fruits. And some no fruits at all. Every single Christian should be able to bear the fruits of Christ in them. Every single one of us should have a testimony of what God has done for you or what he has taken you out of. And those are the fruits of the gospel. Now, a bad fruit is somebody that will say that he's a Christian and then go out there and do worldly things. How can he represent God by doing these things? That's why the Bible says that these that bear bad fruits are cut off and thrown into the fire. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those.
Amen. John chapter 15, verse 4 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, these words of Jesus Christ, I believe, have multiple applications or multiple interpretations. And the first one is the personal abiding in him and who he is. The Bible says that every individual, every Christian is a branch. And they connect to Christ, who is divine. He is the source of where that life flows. And here's the thing about the Christian life. We're only able to be successful. We're only able to win so long as we are in the victory of Jesus Christ. If we disconnect ourselves from him, we may still talk like Christians. We may still go to church. But what makes a Christian is Christ. And it is his power through the Holy Spirit flowing through that person that allows that fruit to come forth, and that fruit is evident of Christ. And he says, you cannot have any fruit, you're fruitless, unless you abide in him. So this is speaking about an intimate, close fellowship with Jesus Christ. When you abide, if you abide in some place, it means you make it your home. That's a place where you dwell. You dwell in him, and he dwells in you. There's a communication, there's a fellowship, a koinonia that goes on, a communion between Christ and the sheep, Christ and the branch. And the second application is that I believe this is also applicable to connecting to the body of believers. The Bible says that the church is the body. And as Christians, we're to be connected with one another. If a hand ceases to be part of the arm, that arm is no longer receiving blood, life into that hand. If a leg is severed from the body, that leg is no longer receiving nourishment, oxygen from the blood that flows through the body. Whenever we separate ourselves from the body, from the fellow believers, it becomes a very dangerous place, because one of the reasons why God has put us together is not only so that we can fellowship, it's not only so we can be a family, but that's so we can encourage one another, so that we can pray for one another, so that we can sanctify one another. But one of the dangerous things about this day that we're living in is that people are more, and understandably, because of the circumstances that are going on in Christianity in America, many of Christians just listen to podcasts. They never get together with other Christians. And it doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be, you know, in a particular church. You can get together in a park with other brothers and sisters, with you and another brother. The Bible says where two or three are in his name, Jesus is there. But there should be some fellowship. There should be fellowship with other believers that are striving after Christ, to follow him, seeking after him. Doesn't necessarily have to be a specific church. I know that it's becoming more and more difficult as the days become darker to find fellowships that are biblical. So if you can't find one, surely there's other believers around you that God can line you up with. And I believe if Christians wholeheartedly pray that God will allow us to fellowship with other believers. There's a philosophy going now in that we get together in that Christians are now getting together in electronic churches via the web and via electronic communications. And that's well, and that's fine. I believe that that's great. We speak to brothers and sisters that write to us, and it's a wonderful, wonderful experience to be able to communicate through other believers through email and through the radio broadcasts. But what happens when those communications go down? What happens when you can't pick up a phone and you can't reach another person that lives in another state or in another country? What happens when you can't send an email? Then that fellowship is broken. And that's what's something that is so important about local fellowship. One of the things that we see in the Christian church during times of persecution, they banded together. During the times of persecution in Rome, during times of persecution by different governments, what kept believers going is that they had one another. And they strengthen each other in those times. And it gives us courage. It gives us boldness when we stand together. We look at Daniel's friends. They stood together, and together they stood against bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue, and together they went into the fire. Together we are a whole. And that's why in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that We should not stop from congregating with one another, especially as the day approaches. And what's that day? The last day, the day of judgment, the day of reckoning. We must stand together as believers, as brothers and sisters, as members of the body of Christ, and abide in Him individually, daily, and abide with one another as we continue to carry the cross and follow Jesus every day.
Amen. The first thing that we need to understand, that we were not created to be alone. We were created to be in a relationship with God. We could see that in the book of Genesis, where it says that God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he walked with him in the Garden of Eden. So this is a picture of relationship. Not only that, we see that later on, God made a woman for Adam, because he said he didn't want him to be alone. So he gave him a helper. Now, later on in the Gospels, we see that Jesus Christ was never alone. His Father was always with him. He also told the disciples to go out two by two. And there's a reason for that, brothers and sisters, because each one of us edify each other. And when we are united, there is power. There is multiplication in prayer. We encourage each other and lift up each other. And there's things that God may reveal to me that he may not reveal to my brother. And things that God may reveal to my brother that he won't reveal to me. So each of us edify each other. That's why it's important to come together in fellowship. I learn from Pastor Javer, and Pastor Javer learns from me, because we're one body in unity. Now, an example of this is, for an example, a fish. And this is what happens when somebody thinks that he doesn't need to be in unity with God. And what happens if you get a fish, doesn't matter how strong he is or how big he is, and you take him out of his atmosphere, he dies. And this is the same thing that happens to many of us. There will be a point in your life when you're going to be tested. And when you're going to be tested, if you are alone and you don't have somebody to help you and push you and to encourage you and to give you understanding and revelation, then you will die. You will walk away from God. That's why there's so many people that walk away from God. At one time, they really were excited about it, and then 1 minute later, or a couple of days later, or a couple of months later, a couple of years later, it's easy for them to walk away. We can't take things into our own hands, brothers and sisters. We have to rest in Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. He says that there should be no schism or no division in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. You see that God puts an order in the church, and every single person has a purpose. God has given us something that we can give back to Him, that we can serve Him with. And before that, Paul mentions that we're all one body, and we suffer together, and we rejoice together. And I find that very beautiful, to see that type of union. When you're able to see that union that is really brought by the love of Christ, It's a very, very special relationship. And I wish that every Christian would be able to experience it. To be one together with a body. See, every person is made with certain strengths and certain weaknesses. And the wonderful thing about being part of the body is that we compensate for one another. Brother Lewis has strengths where I have weaknesses. I have weaknesses where he has strengths. And together, we're able to fulfill a mission. Just like, and I know this is an example that Brother Lewis has given before, just like in the military, you have different branches, and everybody does their purpose, but together they have one purpose, one goal, which they're working towards. And the same thing is with the body of Christ. And this is important because we're going to have to answer not only for what we did with our lives, but what we did with what we received. Part of answering to Christ would be, what do we do with that which God gave us? We read about the story of the talents, about the parable and the talents, that Christ gave a certain amount to three different individuals. To one he gave one, to another he gave two, and another one he gave five. And they were to do something with it, to give something back in return to God for what he had given them. And the same, likewise, every Christian will be judged.
I think that what my brother Javer just said is a powerful thing. Because, you know, we see it all around in the world, yet many of us fail to understand this principle. You know, for those of you that like football, not every player in the football team is a quarterback. Everybody's got their specific position. But when they win a game, the whole team wins it. Same thing as baseball. Not everybody's a pitcher. But when they win as a team. And in the ministry, it works pretty much the same way. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody speaks. But every single person in the ministry is important, because every single function that is done makes the ministry. It's not a person. It's a group of people coming together. And this is the unity that Christ is talking about. A church is not made of one individual. It's made of many individuals with many talents. Some that preach, some that prophesy, others speak in tongues, others are teachers. There's many gifts, but there's one body. And that's what we need to understand. Father God, tonight we thank you, Lord, for teaching us this wonderful lesson, Father. That even though that we may think that we are the less important, there is a great importance for each and every one in your ministry. Father, let us not look at others and envy our brothers and sisters because of their talent, but show us how to use our talents, Father, to glorify your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And also, if perhaps this is the first time you listen to our program, or you turn on Christian radio and you don't know Jesus, you may say, Brother Javier, Brother Lewis, I want to be saved. I want to know God. The Bible says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, for all of our sins, for every sin that we committed and that every human being had committed against God and breaking his laws. The Bible says that Jesus paid for it on the cross. He died and he was buried and he resurrected on the third day. And the Bible says that those that would believe on him shall be saved, shall receive forgiveness of sins, and will be adopted as a son of God. And if tonight you believe and you say, Brother Javier, I believe what you just said. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. You can cry out to God and you can say, Father, you can say, I confess that I am a sinner. I confess that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I ask you tonight to forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. I repent of my sins. And I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to come and dwell inside of me. Make me a new person. Change me. Transform me. Be my God. Be my Father. Be my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Come into my mind. Change me and transform me. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers and sisters, if you're listening tonight and you are crying out to God, and you join me in this prayer, I invite you to write to us, to call in to the program. Write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can contact us at 305-320-7727. Or you can also send us a message through Facebook, or you can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. We thank you for listening tonight. We pray that the Lord blesses you, that He watches over you, that His presence is always near. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of His coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce His kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Jesus, how I love you. For all my days, all my days, Jesus.